so tonight, a sudden death.
His face, his arms, his legs were pitch black with death.
A simple prayer.
And I said, this man has been prayed for. He has been brought back from the dead by prayer in the name of Jesus.
And a patient, some swear, was raised from the dead. It's a 19 special report.
Is it a medical mystery or a miracle?
A South Florida man pronounced dead from a massive heart attack, then brought back to life. His doctor says this man was raised from the dead by a simple prayer. Live Team's Louis Aguirre has the story.
Dr. Chauncey Crandall isn't your usual doctor. The world-renowned cardiologist is a man of medicine and science, but he's also a man of faith.
If you come in with a problem into our service, we're going to definitely treat you with conventional medicine, but we're going to believe too. We're going to attack it with conventional medicine, and we're going to attack it with prayer.
And we pray for his healing.
He calls himself the Christian physician because he prays with each heart patient he sees at his Palm Beach practice. The difference, he says, is dramatic.
And command your healing.
Well, the reason I pray for people is because early on in my training, I found out that there were miracles. There were unexplained healings.
But even his strong faith couldn't prepare him for what would happen the day Jeff Markin walked into the Palm Beach Gardens emergency room.
So I drove to the Gardens Hospital, went in, took out my wallet, and fell on the floor with a massive heart attack.
For 40 minutes, doctors and nurses in the ER tried to revive him. When they couldn't get his heart started again, they called for Dr. Crandall, who was doing rounds in the hospital at the time.
And as I entered the emergency room, it was like a war zone. Here was this lifeless body on a stretcher.
The doctor couldn't do anything and could only confirm what everyone already knew. Jeff was dead. He had gone almost an hour without a heartbeat, and his body was starting to decompose.
His face, his arms, his legs were pitch black with death. And I said, well, let's just call the code. Let's end it, because there's no life left.
As Dr. Crandall turned to leave, he says he got another call. This time, a call from God to pray.
A voice told me, turn around and pray for that man. And I looked down at that body, and I said, Lord, what can I pray for this man? He's gone. All of a sudden, these words came from my mouth.
Father God,
I cry out for this man's soul, Lord. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now.
Despite protests from doctors and nurses who were preparing Jeff's body for the morgue, Dr. Crandall insisted they shock him one more time.
So that doctor came over with those paddles, blasted that man, and all of a sudden, instantly, a perfect heartbeat appeared on that monitor. The stomach started moving. The chest started moving. This man started breathing on his own. And I said, this man has been prayed for. He has been brought back from the dead by prayer in the name of Jesus.
So, where was Jeff during all of this? Well, he believes he left his body and crossed over to the afterlife.
I was actually standing in the back of a funeral home, and I came to realize that this was my funeral.
But in the middle of sitting alone in darkness, Jeff says a figure suddenly appeared to him.
There was a figure, and that he was there to make sure that everything was going to be okay. I'm figuring that was my guardian angel. And at that time, again, a very peaceful feeling, very relaxed feeling came over me. And he said he had to go. And next thing you know, I woke up on my daughter's arms.
He woke up to a second chance, one that can't be explained by medicine or science. As Dr. Crandall puts it, the only answer is divine intervention.
You're speaking to a scientist, a cardiologist, someone who loves medicine. I've never, ever seen this. And there are always people that do not believe these events. And I would just tell them that it did happen. It was a real story, a real life that was restored.
Jeff wasn't exactly a believer before that day. He didn't regularly attend church or read the Bible. But this experience has made him believe there is a higher purpose for his life.
I feel like that maybe I'm supposed to be a messenger. I want to get the right message across that miracles do happen.
A miracle that brought him life after death.
I'm so happy, you know, like I have a second chance.
Well, Jeff says he is now attending church mainly because he wants to figure out why he was chosen for a second chance at life.
Well, as a cardiologist, Dr. Chauncey Crandall is used to responding to emergencies. But almost 2 years ago, during a code red emergency, something extraordinary happened. Watch this.
Jeff Markin walked into the hospital emergency room and died. Chief cardiologist Dr. Chauncey Crandall was called to the scene.
Went down to the emergency room and I walked in and there was a man who had a massive heart attack and they had been working on this man for over 30 minutes, okay, and he was dead. And the doctor that was running the case came out and said, what do you think we can do? And I said, listen, that man's dead. There is nothing you can do.
Or so he thought.
Please welcome to the 700 Club, Dr. Chauncey Crandall. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Pat.
You are a man of medicine. You have trained. You have graduate degrees. You have an internship. So you've got a dead man, code red, cold. You don't normally pray for them under those circumstances, do you?
Well, no. The Lord told me to pray for this man, Pat. This was a morning where I was very busy, and I didn't even want to go to the emergency room that morning. But the emergency room staff called me into this situation, and I came, and this man was clinically dead.
What did they, I mean, they called you. What did they think you were going to do?
Well, I was the cardiologist in the hospital for mm-hmm. the day, so they wanted another opinion. Had they completed all the proper protocols to bring him back to life?
Well, you have to, if you declare him dead, you have to have a couple people sign off on the death certificate. Were you going to do that? Yes.
Well, I was excited to do it that morning because I wanted to get going with my work. Okay.
All right. So you're there, and this man is, he's dead. He's been dead for 30 minutes. What'd you do?
Well, Pat, it was amazing. You know, I had never seen anyone this dead before. Mm-hmm. His whole body was black. His face, his arms, his feet. We call it cyanosis, and I had never seen anyone this dead. You know, that's what I was amazed about. But we finished the code, and the emergency room doctor declared him dead. And they were cleaning the body up, preparing it for the morgue. Everybody had left the room except for a nurse. I was finishing my notes in the room, and I started to leave the room. And I walked to the doorway, and I heard the Lord speak to me. And the Lord said, turn around and pray for that man. And I didn't listen to it the first time. So I kept walking because I didn't want to stay. And then the Lord again said, turn around and pray for that man. And after the second time, I turned around and walked to the side of that stretcher and prayed over that man.
Did you pray audibly and the nurses were listening to you, or did you just pray silently?
I prayed audibly.
You did?
Quietly, but audibly. Uh-huh. The nurse was on the other side of the stretcher. Here was this body. The arms were draped over the side. There was no breathing, of course. He was covered up. The nurse had been pulling all the IVs, all the tubing out of the body, preparing it for the morgue, sponging the body down. And I said, Lord, what am I going to pray for this man?
Yeah.
How do I pray? What do I pray for him? And as I stood there, it was like the Holy Spirit took over. And actually, it was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He took over, and all of a sudden, these words came out of my mouth. Father God, I cry out for this man's soul. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now, in Jesus' name.
That was the, if he doesn't know you, his soul you're
yes.
praying for.
I was praying for this man, but I had no control of my words, really. It was the power of the Holy Spirit taking over this prayer for me.
Then what happened?
Well, the nurse looked at me like I was crazy. Okay.
That's your typical cardiologist.
Right. And all of a sudden, this arm, this right arm, shot up in the air, and the emergency room doctor walked in, and I said, shock this man one more time. Mm-hmm. He said, Dr. Crandall, I can't shock him one more time. We've shocked him dozens of times. He's dead. You've declared him dead. He's gone. And I said, no, shock him one more time for me. And he came over to the bed out of respect for me because he was clinically gone, just to show me that he was gone. He took those paddles, he put it on the chest, and bam! And immediately, a perfect heartbeat came back on the monitor.
Come on.
A perfect heartbeat.
Yeah.
I had never seen that before in all my training, all my years going back to Connecticut and Duke University. I'd never seen any a miracle like that. And I sat there stunned. I looked at the monitor. The emergency room doctor looked at the monitor. The nurse looked at the monitor. And we just looked. We couldn't believe what was happening. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this chest started moving with air. And then the abdomen started moving. And we're looking at the monitor, and we're looking at the patient, we're looking at the monitor, and then all of a sudden the hands started moving, and then the feet started moving. And the nurse screamed. She said, "Dr. Crandall, what are we going to do with them now?"
You can't send him to the morgue, okay. What's that?
And I said, she said, "What have you done?" And I said, "I've cried out for his soul." She said, "Where are we going to take him now? What are we going to do with him now?" You know, she was thinking, of course, he's brain dead. He's been gone for 40 minutes. This is just some freak thing that's happening. I said, "Let's rush him down to the intensive care unit." So we ran by all the people. And by this time, the emergency room and the other nurses are, you know, they're talking about this case.
I bet they were.
And we arrived to the intensive care unit. I put him in his bed, and that was late on a Friday night. And I called my partner, and I signed this case out. And I said, "Gabe, I'm signing you out a dead man that has been raised from the dead in the name of Jesus. There's nothing you can do to him over this weekend that will hurt him. He has a call on his life. He has a testimony." And I came in Monday morning, and this man was sitting up in bed, fully alert, looking at me, talking. And I said, "Jeff, what happened to you that day that I prayed over you?" He said, "I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed, Dr. Crandall." I said, "What are you disappointed about?" He said, "I was in total darkness, Dr. Crandall." He said, "I was in a casket in a dark room, and it was total darkness, and I was there for eternity, and no one came to visit me." He said, "My family didn't come. My relatives didn't come. My colleagues, my workers didn't come to visit me." He said, "Then after being there for eternity, these men came in and they wrapped me up and they threw me in the trash," which was hell.
It's awful.
And I said, "Jeff, never again do you have to be thrown in the trash. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll have eternal life. Will you do that with me?" And so I reached over and I grabbed his hand there, and we prayed the sinner's prayer, and he accepted the Lord as his Savior right there in the hospital bed with tears running down his face. And I said, "Today, Jeff, is the day of salvation for you. You're free in Christ."
What finally happened to him?
Well, the story goes on. The next day I came, and I said, you know, I was so excited. I was worn out, really, to tell you the truth. I went home, told my wife. I was so worn out from this experience. And the next day he reported to me that an angel was ministering to him in the hospital. And every time he would become fearful or frightened, this angel would come down and minister to him in that hospital bed and then comfort him and then leave. And then he would be fearful again. The angel would appear and comfort him and leave. And Jeff has a mighty testimony to tell. He's been at church, he's given that testimony, but he struggles with it, Pat.
Why?
Because he said, "You know, I wasn't a Christian, I wasn't a believer, I was just simply a car mechanic, and the Lord came into my life. Why did he pick me, Dr. Crandall? I was no one. I wasn't a religious person, I wasn't a Christian, I wasn't a believer, but he came and picked me. Why did he pick me, Dr. Crandall? Why not that minister over there, or that believer over there?" And I told Jeff, I said, "Jeff, the Lord picked you for a reason." And he picks everyone for a special reason, that you're special in his eyes.
What was the calling? Does he have something? Is he doing something?
Well, he's trying to figure out this whole walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he can't believe that it happened, but he knows it happened. He knows that something dramatic happened in his life, and he's trying to put his life together right now.
Incredible. Purple. Black, gone, dead.
Gone, trash, worth nothing.
Oh my word. You know, this is unusual to see a cardiologist with your training that prays for people. Do you do that now? You pray for your patients.
Pat, it's out of control. We pray all day long.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay. The Lord won't quit.
Well, you know, Pat, when you see a dead man come back to life,
yeah,
that creates a boldness in you that you can't turn away.
Mm.
When we see people come in tormented by fear, anxiety, suicide, we pray over them, and in the mighty name of Jesus, that leaves. We've seen tumors disappear. We've seen ulcers on bodies where they're going to chop the leg off disappear, and that person has been completely healed in the name of Jesus.
What do your colleagues think? Do they think it's a freak show, or do they think it's real?
Well, I think initially, many years ago, they thought I was weird and odd.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've seen the miraculous. They haven't accepted the Lord, but they've seen the miraculous. And now they're coming to me for counseling.
Praise the Lord.
You know? And we tell them about the mighty works of Jesus. We had a colleague whose daughter had cancer. We prayed for that girl, and now she's doing well. We've seen miracles weekly, Pat, weekly. Salvations weekly in the name of Jesus. And all I have to do is pray with that patient. A simple prayer.
Nothing special, no incantation, no laying all of hands, just pray.
Just pray. Simply praying. And we do lay hands and we anoint in oil, and we've seen great things because of that. But Pat, we use the best of medicine
mm-hmm.
to treat patients, and the best of Jesus. And we bring that in together, and that disease can't escape. Conventional medicine here, Jesus over here, and that disease has to go in the mighty name of Jesus.
Praise God. I don't know what to say. Have you seen any others raised from the dead, or is this the only one?
Well, Pat, I've had one other.
Have you?
And it's when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a believer, I wanted everything that Jesus could give me. And I read in this Bible that you can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, often confirmed by speaking in tongues. And I wanted that. Mm-hmm. And I was crying out for it for 3 months, because I had a situation at home with a sick child, and I needed everything that Jesus could give me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was crying, Lord, give me the baptism of the mighty Holy Spirit, for 3 months. And I'd be driving in my car, and I'd be some gibberish. It was just flesh, and it was nothing. And I kept going to God, I need this gift, Lord. If this is real, I need it. Then one day it happened, Pat.
Mm.
A patient came to the emergency room. She had a massive heart attack. We took her to the surgery site, and we brought her in, like I'm dressed now. We brought her into the operating room, and we started working on her, and her heart stopped because of this massive, massive heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord knew at that moment that was the moment that I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And without control, Pat, when that patient went flatline on that operating room table, all of a sudden my hands went up over my body, over that body on the stretcher or on the operating room table, and all of a sudden I started speaking this new language that I had never spoken before. And it was this language of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I started speaking this unknown language over this lady, crying out for her life in Jesus' name. And I couldn't put my arms down, and I couldn't not stop the flow of these words. It was like a river, Pat, coming out of my mouth, coming forth over this woman for 5 minutes. And again, these nurses looking at me. Not believing what is happening. They were waiting for me to tell them to get the defibrillator, to do this, to do that. They're running around the room waiting for this thing to break. And all of a sudden, this heartbeat came back on that patient, Pat. No medicine, no defibrillator pads, but the heartbeat, because of the Word of God, the mighty Holy Ghost Spirit crying out over that woman, that this heartbeat returned to normal. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I ran up to the head of the bed. I checked the eyes. They weren't fixed or dilated. They were working. And we finished that case, and that woman lived. And I was so amazed that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't focused on raising someone from the dead.
Yeah, but God gave it to you.
God gave it to me. In Jesus' name.
What a ministry. Man, I am so thrilled. Wait, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, are you flooded with patients now that just say, I want to get to that man in praise?
Well, we get people from all over the world that come in.
Do you?
And it's exciting. Our heart is really to take care of men and women of God, missionaries and ministers.
Yeah.
And we have a strong practice in that in that direction. But they can contact me at our website,
right,
which is ChaunceyCrandallMD.com.
That's easy. ChaunceyCrandallMD.com.
Right.
Well, you'll probably get a flood of patients.
Well, that's okay.
I hope they're not wheeling all these dead people in for you.
Well, you know, Pat, the amazing thing is, if you're willing to go to the front line of battle,
yeah,
you'll see the miracles of God.
Mm.
So I ask God now, send me the most difficult cases, Lord Father, so I can see the miraculous in the name of Jesus.
Praise God. Brother, I'm inspired. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Pat.
God bless you.
You're a blessing to us.
Thank you.
Your ministry.
Oh, Dr. Crandall, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to say, but if you need prayer, why don't you give us a call? We're here for you. We love you. 1-800-759-0700. Let's believe God for miracles. With Him, all things are possible. We're going to be back with more after this. Stay tuned.
We were talking the other day in my office after service and reviewing some of the things that God's been doing in you and Deborah's life and of course, the work that God did in your hearts in the loss of your son. And yet, it's amazing where the Lord has positioned you since that time to be in on a lot of great things that God's doing, and even the things that, not only what you've witnessed abroad in Africa and places like that, but what you're witnessing right here at home. And I thought it would be great tonight for you to hear from my cardiologist. And all he does is tell me not to eat Krispy Kreme donuts and to exercise. And I've cut down on the Krispy Kreme donuts. I've got to increase the exercise side, doctor. Every time I'm before you, I go to see him. He doesn't spend much time checking me. He preaches to me basically the whole time I'm there. And then he prays over me and says, okay, and I get out there and suck it up and get tough. But anyway, I just want us to talk tonight about some of the things God's been doing in your life and through your life and some of the things you've witnessed in your life. Because I believe, as we were sitting there sharing in the office, and I told Don and Deborah this, I think you just hearing some of the things that God's doing will encourage you tonight and will strengthen your faith to know that our God is an awesome God. And He is still working miraculous things today in and through our lives. So, would you give a warm welcome for Dr. Chauncey Crandall?
Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, you want me to start, Tom?
Wherever you go for
it. Okay, because you know I'm an old middle linebacker.
Just leave my mic on so I can interrupt him when I want to. Thank you.
Turn it off.
Okay, leave me on.
Well, you know, I was raised in a church home, but my parents really were not believers. They didn't have a relationship with the Lord, but we went to church. We had faith in a God, but really had never given my life to Christ growing up, but I feared the Lord, didn't know a lot about it, wasn't taught that at the church we went to, was raised in a good family, wasn't abused, had a good childhood, I think, and I started going out with my wife when I was 16, I believe, and her brother went to a Billy Graham crusade, I believe in Texas, and came to know the Lord, and about a year after that, Deb, my wife, accepted Christ as her Savior. And we were dating, and she felt that I needed to know the Lord and worked on me, and I went to church and didn't really understand it. But when I was a sophomore in high school, when I was 19 years old, I went to a small country in Africa called Togo with an anthropologist, and this gentleman ran off with all my money, and there I was, left alone, 19, in a kind of a terrible situation in Africa. And actually, I was spending the night in a prostitute's den, if you want to know the story correctly. And that night, because of cultural shock and everything else, I had to get down on my knees, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. It was a turning point in my life. It wasn't that I was abused, messed up, or anything, but I knew that that day I had accepted Christ at age 19 and started to love the Lord, went to church, went to fellowship, did Bible studies. We were married, believed in the Lord. We were involved in church, much like many of you. We read our Bible. My wife read it more than I did. prayed and even taught Sunday school at some churches, but it was never something that I was hungry for the Lord, never something that I was driven to have a relationship with God. I was saved, I know that, that happened that day, but I needed something else in my life, and I wasn't really looking for it, to tell you the truth, until year 2000, and we had a terrible phone call that day. And I can remember I was in our bedroom that night, and my wife had taken my young son to the doctor that day. He wasn't feeling well for a regular checkup, blood work. And the hospital called me, and they called me that night, and they said, "Dr. Crandall, we have an alert level on some blood work." And I said, "Well, what's the problem?" They said, "Well, the blood count is very high." And I immediately thought to myself, well, you know, that's not good. You know, that represents leukemia. That person isn't going to do well. And I said, "Well, who is the patient?" And they said, "Well, Dr. Crandall, that's your son." And I was devastated. You know, I dropped to my knees, my legs buckled like many of you that get bad news, and I didn't know what to do. You know, I was raised in a church, but at that point, I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't even know how to cry out to God. I was saved. I went to church, but I had never grown as a Christian. Like many of you, I had talents that the Lord had given me, but I never used those talents. I never cried on the Lord for prayer, for healing, for miracles, for deliverance. I didn't know anything about that. And all of a sudden, now, this day, I had to cry out to the Lord. But I didn't know how to cry out that day, Tom. You know, I wasn't in church here. I wasn't being taught here. I was in another church that just didn't teach me that. And I hadn't grown as a Christian from age 19 up until year 2000, which was about 25 years. And you can recall the story when the Israelites left Egypt. It was only a three-day journey to the Promised Land. But what did they do? They complained. They didn't believe. And it took 40 years for them to enter into the land that the Lord had for us. Like many of you, like me, I could have entered into that relationship with the Lord earlier in my life. In all the glory, in all the love that the Lord could give me, I could have entered it earlier. But now I had this phone call, and Tom, I wasn't ready for battle. I didn't have the battle plan. I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know who to call to help me pray. I didn't know about healing. I didn't know about deliverance. Who was I going to call? And the next day, we took our son to the doctor, and it was devastating. It was the worst day of my life. I cried, I bawled, my wife cried, my other son, we were all in despair. We had fear, we had anxiety on us. And I can remember walking in the door after I saw the doctor the next day, after all this terrible news, what are we going to do? And I was a doctor, I knew the battle we were up against. I knew the battle plan of the devil. I knew what he could do to us. And I knew it wasn't a good plan. It would end in something terrible if I didn't get help from our mighty God. And so I walked in the house, and my Bible was on the piano that day, Tom. And this is after being a Christian for 25 years. I grabbed that Bible, and I lifted it up in the air, and I said, "Lord, if you're real, you have to heal my son. Because I accepted you as my Lord and Savior 25 years ago, and I've walked with you, but I haven't entered into the fullness, the greatness that you have, Lord Father." And I said, "Today I'm going to run after you with everything I have, because I know in my flesh, I know in my mind as a doctor, that this boy will not make it." They only gave him 3 weeks to live. And so I had to cry for God. But I had no one to stand with me. I wasn't locked in a good church like this one. I wasn't locked in a church that believed in healing and deliverance. Things were going to go over. And I needed to run after Jesus. All I had was the Word of God. But I would read it. But I didn't understand it. I had never seen a miracle. I had never seen a healing. I had never seen a deliverance. And I had to run after the Word. And I would just read day and night. You could ask my wife. I was up till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I would try to get other messages from ministers that were believers that had seen miracles, just only to believe, "Lord, are you real? Can you heal? Can you deliver my son out of this terrible situation?" And I had no one to stand with. Can you believe that? Are some of you like that in this room? You have no one to stand with, you, or you think you don't have anyone to stand with, but you do.
And it's Jesus. But you have to get to know him. You have to walk with him. You have to love him. You have to eat the word of God to get it in you, to build your faith so you can go through these situations. I tell people that are new Christians in my office, I said, if you come, you never know when the battle's going to come in your life. You never know when something's going to happen to you, your family, your friend, but you need to be ready for the battle. You need to be prepared in the word, in fellowship, in prayer, in fasting, hanging with other Christians. This is our house of worship. This is where we worship. This is where we gather together. You're not going to be fed everything here. I'd like you to be. Tom would too. But you have to get in the word yourself. You have to do other things. But this is where we grow as a body of believers together. We hang together. This is our nucleus. And I didn't have that. So I had to run and run and run. And I would knock on doors. Do you believe in healing? Oh, no, no, no. That's for way back then, Dr. Crandall. Well, I said, it doesn't say that in my Bible. It says you can be healed if the elders of the church pray for you. Tom prayed for us when we came later. I said, do you believe? And I would knock on all these doors in the neighborhood here, all the churches, many of them. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I need help. My son's dying. I need help. In Jesus' name. I didn't know how to pray. I needed someone to tell me, to show me, to elevate my faith. That healing can take place. That God is real. Because I'm a scientist. I'm from Yale. Trained, did some training at Harvard, Duke, all over. Hey, I got great credentials. But when your son's dying, they don't help. And I tell people, be ready for the battle. Prepare. You need to be like a Green Beret, a Navy SEAL, Special Forces, a winning football team. You need to be in preparation every day, every day, every day, every day, because you never know when the battle's coming. But when the battle comes, are you prepared? Are you prepared to pray, fast, seek God? I didn't have all that. So I had to knock, 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 all over. And finally, I went to my wife. I said, no one believes. No one believes in healing. No one believes in deliverance. Oh, it was terrible, Tom. And then one day, a man of God from Mexico came up and he preached at a little school up here. He was a missionary out of Mexico. And that day, my wife said, you go and hear this man of God. He might know. We didn't even know about Christ Fellowship at that point. And so I went up and I heard that man, and everything he preached was true. It was in this Bible. And he talked about miracles. And it elevated my faith. I needed my faith elevated to fight the battle. I needed it. Because I knew we had no chance. So he prayed that night for me. It was unbelievable. I changed. Something happened. I'd already been a Christian. But he prayed. And when he prayed, boldness came on me. The boldness of Christ. The boldness of a believer that stands in authority and prays and delivers the word of God, and things happen in Jesus' name. It's not by my might, but it's by the name of Jesus. It's by the mighty Holy Spirit. And he prayed, and I had boldness. I finally had a little boldness to believe in the miraculous. 3 weeks went by. I called him up. I said, listen, David, if your Jesus is that real, I want more of it. I need it. I need it in my life. I need it to save my son. Is your Jesus that real that you were preaching about? He said, he is. I said, do miracles happen? He said, yes, they do. I said, I need it. I need to elevate my faith to pray for my son. Christian, 25 years. Didn't have a lot of faith, did I? So he said, if you want to believe, if you want to see the works of God, you fly down to Mexico and you hang with us for 2 weeks. So Dr. Crandall from Palm Beach in his blue blazer and khaki pants gets on the plane and flies to Mexico. And I land in Tampico, Mexico, and guess what? All they had there was a pickup truck with two missionaries in the front seat. They were only there to pick me up. But the front of the pickup truck was full. So Dr. Crandall had to get in with his blue blazer tie and khaki pants, and I had to sit in the back of the pickup truck like some of the people you see going down the highway. And it took 3 hours to go up in the mountains. And we went up in the mountains, and then we didn't arrive there till 3 o'clock in the morning. And then we arrived at the house, and all the lights were on in the house. And the man of God, the minister there, the missionary, his name was Greg, his whole family were up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought, this is crazy. Why are they up? And I asked him, I said, Greg, why are your family up? He said, Dr. Crandall, every day we go out, there's a day one of us, on occasion, never comes back. And out of honor for me, the man of God in the house, my family greets me every time I come home. See, he said, we've lost 11 missionaries proclaiming the good news of Jesus. I said, oh man, I've never met anybody like this. He said, I know why you're here. If you get up tomorrow morning, you're going to meet the Jesus you've never met. So I got up the next morning, and we went from village to village. And what happened? Miracles started happening. They'd bring someone in a wheelbarrow that couldn't walk. And then all of a sudden the glory of God would fall, and they would pray in the name of Jesus, and that little person would get out of that wheelbarrow, and they would walk. I mean, it gave me chills seeing that. I couldn't believe it. I thought they were faking me out. Then a blind person would come in, and they'd pray for the blind. And then that person could see. Everything that you read in the Bible, the deaf could hear, the blind could see, the lame could walk. People with cancers would be prayed for, and they would disappear. People that were dead would be prayed for, and they were brought back. I didn't see that, but I heard about it. And so for 2 weeks, my faith was built up. The Lord was using this experience to bring me back home full of faith and believing in the mighty power of our great God, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. So I came back, and I greeted my wife at the door, and I said, I don't know the words exactly, but I believe I said, we will make it. Our God is real. Can you believe it? Our God is real. Hallelujah. He is real, isn't he? And I don't want to dominate all this, Tom, but I came back that day and I was changed. I had faith to believe, finally, that miracles were happening, and I needed to be around other people, other believers, and I would run everywhere. I would run to see the move of God, to believe. And then I would start praying for my son, and then things would happen. He'd have a tumor. We'd pray. It would disappear. In the name of Jesus. It wasn't me. It wasn't treatment. It would disappear. He had issues with fear. We prayed over fear, and it left. Can you believe it? Fear left because of the name of Jesus. There were some scary things going on. We went through a deliverance, and they left. It was a battle. Let me tell you, it was not easy. No battle is easy. But Jesus is the way. He is the love. He is the truth. He is our Savior. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. And every day would run. Did I have low days? Yes, I did. And we battled that thing for 4 years. They gave him 3 months. And then at the end of 4 years, something, a zinger came out of the past, or came out. And he got very sick, and he didn't make it. He didn't make it. He made it to Jesus. He's with our mighty God, right? Okay. But let me tell you about that. That battle, because we don't know what the eternal significance of what I went through represents, okay? Or what my family went through. We are radical for Jesus. We're radical believers. We believe in the word, and when we preach it, we believe it, and when we say it, we expect action, because we have the faith of the kingdom of God on our shoulders to back it up. But when that boy was taking his last breath, Chad, precious boy, blue eyes, blonde hair, beautiful, Tom knew him, yes. He was wonderful. He was everything any father or mother would ever want to have. He was everything. He was the best of the best. And the Lord has him. But that last day, when he took his last breath, I had to make a decision because, you know, I've been running after this battle for 4 years. I was proclaiming the name of Jesus on every hilltop. I was seeing miracles happen left and right. And when that boy took his last breath, and we were holding him in his arms, our arms, it was a wonderful day. I didn't expect it because I believed he would be healed. Even as sick as he was, I still believed. And when he didn't make it, I believed he'd be raised from the dead. And I prayed for him for 2 hours. And the Lord said, well, hey, I've got him. I'm keeping him. Okay? But, you know, What happened was that day I held them in my arms and I prayed. And I was awfully upset. I said, Lord, I've prayed, I've asked, I've done everything I can to see this boy healed. And now I'm awfully upset. I'm mad. Some of your situations, you're upset. It didn't go the way you wanted. You're upset. You're mad. Some of you turn away from the Lord. Maybe not tonight in this crowd. And I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision. Lord, I am upset. I believe in you. I know you can heal this boy. I know he can live. I know you can raise him from the dead if you want, but you didn't do it. So now I have to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to run from you, Lord? Because I'm awfully upset and I can do that. Am I going to turn from you because it didn't work out the way I wanted it to? Or am I going to turn to you? What decision do you think I made? I'm here today, right?
That's right.
Man. I made a decision.
Right.
Hear this. And this is the decision everyone should be making in this room. I said, left, I run from you. Deny you, Lord. Deny all your greatness. Deny your miracles. Deny your love. I run from you, Lord, because it didn't work out, because I'm upset. Or I go the other direction and say, Lord, Father, I'm running to you because I've seen too much. I've seen your greatness. I've seen your miracles. I've seen your love. And I said, Lord, I'm running to you. I'm running to you with everything I have. But I said, here's the deal. I guess we can make deals with the Lord, can't we, Tom?
I'll talk to you about that.
Okay.
One.
Well, this is what
as
I
did. As long as your deal's a full commitment.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's a full commitment. I said, Lord, if I run to you, I want 1 million souls for your kingdom. I want 1 million souls for your kingdom, Lord. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant the seed of my son, because he was really a martyr. I'm going to plant this seed for a mighty harvest of souls. That's what I want, Lord. Because I know if I run to you, that's where all my joy is coming from. That's where all my peace is coming from. That's where everything is coming from, Lord. Because if I run from you, I'm not going to make it. So I'm running to you. And you know what happened after I did that? Peace came on me. Peace. A peace that you never get when you're holding a son who's just passed away. Peace came on my wife and on my other son. Peace came on us. I've been hurt as hard as I can be hurt. I can't be hurt any harder than I've been hurt. I've been destroyed as bad as I can be destroyed, losing that boy. But guess what? God is healing me, okay? And the Lord, when I proclaim the name of Jesus, I don't care what anyone else thinks anymore. I don't care. If you don't go after Jesus, you're going to be unhappy. And if you don't know the Lord, you're going to hell. Plain and simple, you're going. But what happened with that, Tom? After all that experience, we started preaching, started getting active with the Lord, but I started preaching with determination, with boldness, with faith, with belief, and the Lord has showed us many, many miracles. You say, well, Dr. Crandall, you prayed for your son, and he didn't get well. No, he got well. He's with the Lord. The Lord wanted him then, and he went home. Okay, that's not going to stop me from praying for you and you and you and you and you, because I have faith. I've seen the miraculous. I've seen tumors disappear. I've seen the dead raised up in Jesus' name.
Tell us about the Gardens Hospital. Was it Gardens Hospital?
Yeah, it was Gardens. And let me tell you, because we're probably running out of time.
No, that's okay. Right. I want to tell the story.
Well, let me tell you. You know,
yeah,
I've got time. Okay, sure? Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, because I could talk all night, you know. And I don't know what position he played, but were you offense or defense, Tom?
I actually played both ways.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So
okay.
I can run the ball or tackle
you. You can get
either
me.
One
okay.
You want,
okay.
Baby.
Okay. But, you know, middle linebackers, we're loud and we like to control things. So with us up here, this is tough, but with me anyway. But let me tell you about this miracle. Because, you know, since year 2000, it hasn't been that long, has it? Okay. But I got radically on fire for the Lord in 2000. And we've prayed and we travel and we go all over the place and we do wonderful things for Jesus in the name of Jesus. But one day at the hospital, It was a day early in the morning, 7 o'clock. I had many cases that day, and it was just a bad day for me. It was a busy day. It was a grueling day. We had lots of surgery going on. And then early one morning, about 7:30, I got called overhead at the hospital to go to the emergency room. And it wasn't a day I wanted to go to the emergency room, because every time you get called to the emergency room, it's a bad deal. And I didn't want to go. But what happens as you go? It says in Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach this message: to the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. As you go, the kingdom of heaven follows you, right? Does it matter how you feel that day? No, it doesn't matter. But the kingdom goes. And if you have the Holy Spirit on you and you have Christ in you, you got that little flame of fire over your head, right? Little flame is following you. So wherever you go, that flame isn't out. It's always with you, okay? So I'm going down the hall, and I get that stat call to go to the emergency room. I didn't want to go. I'm telling you the truth. I did not want to go. But then I started feeling bad, so I went. Okay? It wasn't a God day. I didn't feel holy. I didn't feel anything special that day. So I went down to the emergency room, and I walked in, and there was a man who had a massive heart attack, and they had been working on this man for over 30 minutes. Okay? And he was dead. There was no life in that man. His face was black. His hands were black. His feet were black. I was overwhelmed at how bad the death was on this man. They had every doctor, every nurse working on him. And the doctor that was running the case came out and said, what do you think we can do? And I said, listen, that man's dead. There is nothing you can do, because I wanted to get out of there. I'm going to be honest. I wanted out of that area. Because when someone dies, it is bad, nasty. You've got to talk to the family. It's a whole drama situation. And I wanted to leave. But he was really dead. He was dead, dead, beyond dead. And I said, Tom, to that doctor, I said, just end it. There's nothing more we can do. He said, okay, I agree with you. We've done it all. We've done everything. Let's call the code. That means end it. They were ending everything they could do to bring this man back. And so they all left the room, and one nurse was there, and she was preparing the body for the morgue, Tom, and taking the IVs out and sponging the body down to take down to the morgue. And I left, and I was leaving the room. Everyone else was gone, and I hit the doorway, and all of a sudden I heard a voice. Like many of you, you know, if we don't hear the voice of the Lord, we miss things, right? And I heard this voice: turn around and pray for that man. What would you do? He was dead. What would you do? How many, raise your hands, how many would pray for that man? Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I've heard the voice of the Lord before, and I've denied it sometimes, and I'm ashamed to say that I have.
True, we all have.
I've missed it. But this time it was clear. It was a soft voice, but it was, turn around and pray for that man. And I want to tell you, what makes this so miraculous is I didn't want to pray for that guy. I didn't even want to be there. But I did turn around, and I walked to the side of the stretcher where there was no life in that body. The body was being unhooked, prepared for the morgue, and I didn't know what to say, and I stood next to that body, like many of you. We don't know what to say sometimes, but if you go, what happens? The kingdom of heaven follows you, right? As you go, the kingdom of heaven is coming with you. The light of God, the fire is coming with you wherever you go. And I stood next to that man, and I didn't know what to say, Tom. I didn't know. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said it for me, I guess. And these were the words. These were the exact words. Father God, I cry out for this man's soul. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now. Now, what do you think that nurse thought about the other side of that body? Well, she thought I was crazy. Now, I will admit, I didn't boldly speak it out and shout it, but I did say it. And all of a sudden, I had no power over this right arm. This right arm went up, and the other doctor walked in the room, and I pointed to him, and I said, shock this man one more time. He said, Dr. Crandall, that man's dead. We've shocked him dozens of times. There's nothing we can do. He's gone. I said, for me, shock him one more time. Kind of brings a little reality into it, because we had to shock him, but he had been dead. He was on his way to the morgue. What is a shock going to do?
So the doctor, out of kindness, boom! And all of a sudden, on that monitor, a perfect heartbeat came back. Perfect. I was stunned.
Okay.
Well, that's not it.
Okay.
I just kept looking at the monitor thinking, what have I done? You know, what are we going to do now? And then all of a sudden, I looked down at his stomach, and his stomach was moving up and down. And then all of a sudden, those black fingers, as black as this Bible, were wiggling. And those toes started wiggling. And then all of a sudden, he started mumbling words. And the nurse screamed, what are we going to do with them, Dr. Crandall? Well, what would you do? You couldn't cover them up.
Oh, I wish I had been at the hospital.
Yeah, you couldn't have covered him up. Couldn't have covered him up. Well, let me tell you what happened. Because, you know, this, Tom wants you to know that miracles happen. This is extreme. You don't see it that often. I've seen it a couple times, but it is extreme. But this is how great God is, right? And so she said, what are you going to do? And I said, let's get going. Let's get him down to the intensive care unit. We got him down, and 3 days later, he woke up. And I signed him out to my partner. That was a Friday night. I signed him out to my partner that night, Tom. And I said, Gabe, this man has been raised from the dead. You cannot hurt him. You can do whatever you want to him. God has got a call on his life. So I sign him out to you. A dead man raised up in Jesus' name. That's exactly what I said. So, came back Monday. He's sitting up in bed. The nurse came running out of the room. She said, Dr. Crandall, I'm so upset with you. I'm so upset with you. I'm so upset with you. I said, what are you upset about? She said, you prayed for that man. I was convinced he was going to be brain dead. But now look at him. He's sitting up in bed talking. It was a miracle. I couldn't believe it. So I went in and I talked to him. And his name is Jeff. And I said, Jeff, what happened to you? Where were you? And he said, I was in a very dark room. And he said, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. Jeff, what were you disappointed about? He said, my friends didn't come to visit me. My family didn't come to visit me. He said, I was in a casket in a black room, total blackness, all alone. Family didn't come. Friends didn't come. Colleagues didn't come. No one came to visit me. Said, after being there hours and hours, Tom, he said, they just wrapped me up. And they threw me in the trash. I said, Jeff, you never have to go in the trash again. I said, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll never have to go in the trash ever again. And right there in that room, I witnessed to him, told him about our Lord, and with tears running down his eyes, he accepted Christ as his Savior right there in the hospital room. Can you believe it? Right there in the room.
Okay. Let's get camera one to come right across the room because Jeff is here tonight.
Right.
Jeff,
you want to meet Jeff,
would you stand? Stand up, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
This is the man that God brought up from the dead right here, Jeff.
We serve a mighty God, don't we?
I want you to get on Jeff. Not enough.
Hallelujah.
There's Jeff. There he is, right there. Praise God.
He's a celebrity now.
You know what, doctor?
Yes.
That's why I go to you.
Also tonight, patients at death's door.
He was as close to death as anybody I'd ever seen.
Then, the power of a doctor's prayers.
If you pray for patients, the supernatural comes in.
Medical miracles, a 19 special report.
Earlier this year, we told you about a local cardiologist who some say raised a man from the dead through prayer.
Well, now more of his patients are claiming they too were saved by the good doctor. The 19's Louis Aguirre has more. In his special assignment report tonight, we're calling it Medical Miracles.
They were all facing death.
Very seldom does anyone come back from a
massive heart attack at 87 years old.
He was as close to death as anybody I'd ever seen.
I became completely septic and diseased in every way possible, and they didn't know how to stop it.
And when conventional medicine couldn't save them, they claim a doctor's prayer did.
Gives me goose pimples to think about it.
Dr. Chauncey Crandall is a West Palm Beach cardiologist who practices with medicine and faith.
If you pray for patients, the supernatural comes in,
and we pray for his healing,
and these patients recover.
His patient, Jeff Markin, believes. Markin was pronounced dead after a massive heart attack. Everyone had given up, except Dr. Crandall.
All of a sudden, these words came from my mouth.
Father God,
Father God, I cry out for this man's soul, Lord. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now.
Next thing you know, I woke up in my daughter's arms. Huh. I want to get the right message across that miracles do happen.
Miracles like Jeff's led Dr. Crandall to hire an in-office chaplain.
I never thought that I would be here, but it's just wonderful to see how God has placed me into these patients' lives.
Father God, we just come to you.
Jeremy McKean and Dr. Crandall work as a team, and the medical miracles, big and small, keep coming.
Since I came to work for Dr. Crandall, I have seen a miracle every day.
Arlene believes her husband Ted is one of those miracles. Ted developed a mysterious illness doctors couldn't diagnose, let alone cure.
The doctors, after about 3 days, asked me for a living will.
Instead, she called Ted's heart doctor, Dr. Crandall, who sent Jeremy to pray at Ted's bedside.
Jeremy laid his hands on him, and he prayed very, very hard. And he asked God to raise Ted.
4 days later, Ted was so much better, the doctor said he could go home.
It just proves prayer works.
18-year-old Courtney was suddenly struck with a rare disease that causes your organs to fail. She was told by doctors she probably wouldn't make it.
With this disease, mortality rate is 90%. So there's a point where you can't stop it.
Her family goes to the same church as Dr. Crandall, and they asked him to pray for her. Within days, one organ after another started working again, and eventually the disease would disappear.
Dr. Crandall prayed me through this. It was cool to watch all the miracles just from prayer.
But Dr. Crandall says it's not just patients who call him for help.
I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, if you don't go and take care of that man, he will die.
The doctor wasn't on call at the hospital the night his heart patient Frank was admitted with chest pain, but he says God told him to go anyway, and he soon found out why.
All of a sudden, he crashed. His blood pressure went to zero. His vital signs dropped out.
Dr. Crandall believes medicine alone would not have saved his 87-year-old patient.
I was using conventional medicine, but I was crying out to the Lord, Lord, spare this man. Let him live.
Minutes later, Frank came back from a near-death experience, his heart showing no signs of trauma.
I feel good now, as you can see.
We've seen so many miracles that we can't stop. The more we believe, the more faith that we have, the more we see, and the more miraculous the miracles are becoming.
It's enough to keep Dr. Crandall and Jeremy praying for more. All they ask patients for is a little faith.
All I tell them is that you just need to have a little faith.
Well, the office does not charge patients for the chaplain's service. Dr. Crandall says he pays Jeremy out of his own pocket.
Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. God sent Jesus, who went about healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus never changes. Jesus healed multitudes. That was his mission. He came to heal as well as to save. By his deeds, he showed us what he wanted to do so that we can see what he was and still is like. He came to heal them so that he could heal you and me. Healing was a major part of his mission, and Jesus said God sent him to do those very works. He is not like the moon, which has phases, sometimes showing the darkened portion. He is the Son of Righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. What Jesus was, he is, constantly and forever. Healings demonstrate the essential truths of Christianity and show us Jesus as he really is. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Jesus Christ is the light of all lights, the light of the world, and there is no changing with him, causing a shadow. He is always at the peak of his power, forever at zenith. There is no variation or shadow of turning. He never turns. He never inclines or declines. Never rises nor sets. He is always at the height of his glory, pouring out his love and life in all his fullness and brilliance. That is why millions are being healed today. To God be the glory. He is not becoming great. He is great. He is now at the height of his greatness. He always was and will always be the healer and the savior. Never forget this. Healing originated with God. It wasn't our idea. At the beginning of the Bible, when nobody had ever thought of such a thing, he healed people. That was 4,000 years ago. We read, so Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17. Nobody suggested healing to God or begged him for it. He did it because it was his nature. He loved to do it. If there is something you don't like doing, you keep quiet about it. If you enjoy doing something, perhaps a hobby or a sport, you devote time to it and generally talk about it as well. God didn't keep quiet about healing. He couldn't. His heart was full of compassion. He not only talked about it, but did it as well. When Jesus came, he offered to heal. We read in John's Gospel that he performed some of his miracles without being specifically asked. He went to the pool of Bethesda, where there were hundreds of afflicted people, without anybody suggesting it. He approached one paralyzed man and asked him if he wished to be healed. The man didn't even say yes, but Jesus healed him. Anyway, read the report in John chapter 5. Later, he saw a blind man, and without even asking him what he wanted, Jesus restored his sight. John chapter 9. That's Jesus. That was Jesus yesterday. And that is Jesus today. Let nobody fool you.
I have a very important question for you. What do you think is going to happen if in the next few moments you take your very last breath and your heart stops beating? Whether you believe the Bible or not, the Word says that tomorrow's promised to none of us. Real life experience tells you that that's true. People die every day unexpectedly. You don't know if you're even going to be here tomorrow. So that's not an unrealistic question. What do you think happens when you take your last breath and this life as you know it is all over? You know, there are two things that a person with common sense who's being honest and truthful can't dispute. The first is that you will die. Death is part of this human experience. One day, one moment, sooner than any of us think, you will die. The other fact is that you sin. Whether you believe the Bible or not, that you've inherited sin from the first man, Adam, forget that for a second. Just in the time you've been alive, probably in the last 24 hours, you've sinned. Have you ever told a lie? If you have, you've sinned. So we take these two indisputable facts. One, that each of us will die one day. And two, that we sin. And I submit to you that at the moment you die, you will stand before God, the God that created you in His own image, the God that loves you so much. And at that moment, it is your sin that will separate you from that holy, loving God. Now, I realize some people don't believe that. They believe they just die, and that's it. They just go into the ground. The fact is, you're banking your eternal soul on whether you're right or not. I submit to you that when you die and stand before God, and God judges you for your sin, you will be cast into everlasting darkness, sent to a place called hell, created for Satan and his fallen angels, not for man. It's not that God doesn't love you, but it's your sin that separates you from God. But I have some good news for you. The Bible says that God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. What that simply means is this: God loved you enough that He made a way for your sins to be forgiven, washed away, so that at that moment you take your last breath and you are standing before God your Creator, it's not God casting you away for all eternity into a place called hell, but it's God ushering you into His holy presence for all eternity in a place known as heaven. That option is available to every person who lives. It's a choice. Many people say, how could God send somebody to hell? The reality is, God sends nobody to hell. Each person makes that choice for themselves, where they will spend eternity. You have that choice right now. You can either choose to reject God's free gift of everlasting life, or you can choose to accept that gift. To accept that gift means that you have admitted that you're a sinner. And as a sinner, you need your sins forgiven. You need a Savior. God sent a Savior to this world. His name was Jesus. He came to this earth, lived a sinless life, so that He could complete His mission, which was to go to that cross 2,000 years ago. Die as the one-time perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. That's why there's only one name by which men are saved. That name is Jesus. That's why Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. They didn't die for your sins. It was Jesus who willingly went to that cross, shed his precious blood, and died as that one-time perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, including you and me. Let me ask you a question. As you watch this right now, do you know without any doubt? Do you have the assurance right now that if you took your last breath, your heart stopped beating, and you passed from this life into eternity, that you would be with God, your Creator, the one that loves you so much, for all eternity, with Him in heaven? Do you have that assurance? If you don't, you can. Or if you've never made the choice to accept Christ as your personal Savior, you have that opportunity right now. If you are at a place in your life where you're tired of the way your life is going, if you're at a place in your life right now where you want to know that there's more to this life than just what you see, but there's real joy and there's real peace and there's a real abundance to this life, if you would like to know that, you can make the decision right now, this very moment, to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life by faith. And in so doing, not only have the assurance of everlasting life when this journey is over, but know that peace and joy and abundance now throughout the rest of your life. If you'd like to make that commitment tonight, if you'd like to make that decision tonight, all you have to do is pray with me right now. There's nothing magical about these words. They're simply a guide for your faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that we're saved by the grace of God, His unmerited favor, and we're saved by our faith. That's it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing to be added to the salvation formula. It's God's grace. It's your faith, creating that supernatural act of salvation. If you'd like to make that commitment, you can do so right now by simply praying along with me. If you're ready, please pray with me and mean it in your heart, and the Bible says you'll be saved. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I give my life to you. Use me for your glory. From this day forward, my life is yours and I will follow you. In Jesus' name I pray.